Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. King, we'd like to welcome you into our show this evening for men only. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the King with us this evening, and we want to do him justice by talking about the topic for men only. So men, if you are out there, we want you to come in and get a word from Mr. King, because he's going to be dropping it like it's hot this evening. He's going to be speaking around all topics that pertain to men. Men are our covering, and because they are our covering, they have a mighty job to do. They have a great responsibility of preserving the family. And in the village, where there is much destruction for our black families, we know that there is disturbance for the black man because he can't do his job. There aren't enough jobs to provide for him. And most of the time, they have to go out of their dwelling to find employment. We're going to be talking about what must a man do to gain sanity in a world that's been turned upside down for the black man. We want to talk about how can they find their profession. Do they know what their gifts are, and how do they work in their professions? We want to talk about relationships. How do they make themselves into a good prospect for a husband? And what are some of the telltale signs that they have not prepared themselves for marriage? We want to also talk about when they find that good thing, how do they hold on to it? And here to help us talk about it is Mr. King, Mr. Aaron Devon King, who is a well-rounded young man, ladies and gentlemen. He has found his profession and career in acting and modeling, and he's even writing his own script, his personal script, to tell the story of his life story. And we want to also remind you that Mr. King is also going to school to become a bona fide counselor, so he is able and bona fide to talk about counseling from a perspective of an expert. So he will be our in-house resident and expert today. So we're going to rely upon him. Let us go to the phone and welcome him into the throne of Omi Inca. So we want to welcome the King. Take me to the King. Take me to the King. My heart is torn to pieces, but it's my offering. Truth is, I'm tired and I'm all washed up. We need a word, just a word from you. And he's going to give it to us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Join me in welcoming my guest. I'd like to go to the phone lines to say hello to caller number 805. Caller number 805, you're in the atmosphere. Who am I speaking to? Okay. Well, when you feel like talking, you're welcome to talk. Let me greet caller number 323. Caller number 323. Hello? Can you hear me?
Miss Cheryl?
Yes, this is Mrs. Omienka.
This is Aaron.
And
this is Aaron.
Is this the king, I presume?
Yes, it is. Thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Okay, a little rusty on that song because I hadn't practiced it, but I definitely wanted to do that for you. So that was a little surprise in there. Thank you very much for joining us today, Aaron, because we need your help today. We need your expertise, and we need your experience. So I want to personally thank you. And let me say this to the listening audience. In the short time that I've known Aaron, he's a well-rounded, balanced man. And I love the fact that he's a young man, and he has his head on straight, and he loves the Lord. And that was one of the reasons why I was drawn to him. He loves the Lord with all his heart and soul, and his attempt is to do God's will. So when you find a man that's on that path, the world and the universe will open up to him, and it will serve him and assist him. So let us put our hands together for this young man who is making an attempt to go down the path that he's been called in acting as well as in the area of modeling. I think that he's fortunate enough to have been drafted in this area because he certainly is definitely God's gift, and I believe that he has a lot to offer. So I want to thank you, Aaron, for joining us today, and we will take a short station identification, and we're going to meet you back in the atmosphere. So hold tight, ladies and gentlemen, hold tight. We'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. We're going to take a little trip out of here to Carolina.
Have that talent. Welcome to North Carolina.
Have that talent.
Have that talent.
I'm gone.
Got that rhythm.
I'm gone.
Have that talent.
I'm gone.
Got.
Come on.
All right, family, thank you so much for joining us. And you are in the Care to Read room if you have forgotten where you are. And we are featuring our chat room. If you'd like to go in the chat room to leave a message or even chat with us, you're welcome to do so. And we do entertain co-hosts in that room. So if you'd like to go in and be a co-host, drop me a line and let me know. You're welcome to do so. Now, today's segment is on for men only. That does not mean that women cannot participate. We'd love for the women to be a part of this, but we're going to be talking on the subject that pertains to men. Now, as I indicated earlier, we are going to be lifting up the men. But before we do that, we always pay homage to the Creator. And you know in this room, prayer is definitely in order. So I'm going to ask you, wherever you are all over the diaspora, to stand in a position of prayer. And we put our hands out as if we're going to receive. And I'm going to say a prayer, a short prayer, and I'm going to ask our brother, Mr. King, to also give us a prayer, because prayer is in order before you do anything. So if you'll just stand with me as we position ourselves in prayer and just be still. Please be still. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, on thee do I wait, and on thee do I beseech for help. Guide us on the path, not upon the path that have gone astray, but upon those who have gone on the wide. And we ask that you would cover us with your blood today, and that you would protect us from all hurt, harm, and danger. We ask that you would be within our households. We ask that you would guide those marriages, those relationships. And most of all, Father, we ask that you do a double portion for the black man today, those that are locked in prison, those that have been taken out of the home. We call on you today, Father, that you would align the man in the home where he should be. And, Father, we ask that you would open up opportunities for the black man today like never before. We ask that you would begin to give them favor, Father, and we ask that they will come home again and that they will be fathers and husbands to their family. We ask that you would unite them back with their wives and unite them back to their children. And most of all, Father, we ask that you give them the strength so that they can stand in the end time. And when they stand, I said, remain standing. And still I say stand when the winds come up against them and when the winds blow and when you bring everything you said you were going to bring, the winds and the waves, and you will let it rain upon the just and the unjust. Let them be able to maintain and even still remain standing through the hard times. We thank you, Lord, that you can do all things and you can exceedingly do all things in our life. And if our words be in you and we be in your word, we can ask what we will. We ask the blessings of you today, Lord, that you will cover us as we begin to speak on this subject, and we give you all the praise and the honor, and we say amen. And I'm going to ask amen. Brother Aaron if he would come up and say a prayer with us, please.
Father God, we honor and we praise your name. We give you all of us, Father God. You are so grateful, and we just continuously ask you for strength and for those who need help, guidance, who don't know you, that you will come into their hearts, Father God, that you will reveal yourself, and that whatever issue, whatever battle we're going through, that you will help them, guide them out of it, Father God, because you want nothing but good for us in our lives, Lord, and we just continuously give you the praise, Father God, and just heal us and guide us throughout the whole entire year, for the rest of our lives, and this week and this month, and each day, just continue us to grow us and give us mighty, mighty strength, Father God. And we just thank you for all that you have done, for all the good, for all the bad, for everything, because it's for a reason. And you are continuously guarding us, and you are our Father. And we just want you to know that we love you. And we thank you for all that you have done and that you have put us through, because it only makes us a bigger, stronger person. In your mighty name, Lord Father God, we praise you, and we give you honor and praise, and we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that prayer. And as we stand and all over the house, our hands should be lifted. This is for those brothers who are locked away, who are not able to speak for themselves. We have a voice for them, and that they're unmolested today, that they're hearing this by way of prison cells, that they will know that we are addressing this for all men all over the world. Just be still and know that he's God, and let him do it for you because he wants to do it for you today. Just release and let go, that God wants to hold you. He said not one will be plucked out of his hand, but he will begin to do a new work in you, and that all men all
be
over the world are
still
and
know.
If you feel an electron movement, we want you to do it for us today. All we need to do is get ourselves to do it. So let's begin our will today as we begin to do His work.
Once again, be still.
And there's nothing good about this world. Be still and let God do it for you. He wants to work
when
with us. He wants to
come
into our lives. He wants to come into our lives.
You
so all over the world, even in the world, you're out there locked away, and you have repented. Ask God to forgive you for whatever you've done.
Come
back to that day, ready to grow. Still only know that God will work.
We'll say your name. If terror falls upon your bed and sleep no longer comes,
if sleep no longer
remember
comes,
remember
he will give you
the word that said, be still, be still
right now.
And know,
be still in your spirit and in your heart. And
when you go through the valley and
the
shadow comes down from the hill, if morning ever comes to be,
be
still.
Know that he's God. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. And now the next voice you will hear is that of our guest today, Mr. Aaron Devon King. We're going to ask him to come and give a little history about his profession as an actor, as a model, and how he got in the profession, and what doors did God open for him that most men don't have. I'm going to ask him a little bit about his upbringing. What kind of foundation did he have before he went into the workforce? And just to give us a little background synopsis of who he is. Who is this Aaron Devon King? Mr. King, you have the floor.
Okay. Hello, audience. Let me give you a little background on who I am. When I was 14, I knew right then and there I wanted to be in the entertainment industry as an actor. So as Sidney Poitier, Denzel Washington, from comedians, Eddie Murphy, Jim Carrey, just to see how they would entertain everybody and put on a show, it was really, really impressive to me. And I always wanted to go to New York. I haven't been to New York yet, but I would subscribe to New York Film School magazine while I was in high school because my plan was to go to New York. But that will happen for me one day. But I was still nonetheless successful in the entertainment industry as an actor. Now, there's different genres, there's different types of fields when it comes to acting. There's stage acting, there's film acting, and there's commercial acting. And there's this type of acting where you have puppets. So I've been very successful when it comes to being on stage in theater. I have worked with a lot of great people. I was the production assistant for Kalita Smith. She was the wife of the Bernie Mac show back in 2009 for this one big stage production. It was called One Woman, Two Lives. It's also a website, www.onewomantwolives.com, and I was her production assistant throughout this whole entire play for 6 months, and it was on tour. Earlier this year, I was in a play called Nubia, and that's the website, nubih.com, directed by Byron Nora, and that was really well. Byron Nora, he is a well-known theater actor in California. And he was born and raised in New Orleans, and he's the first person who brought me into acting at the age of 14. I was in a stage production called Shades, and I remember auditioning when I was 13, 12 for different productions, 14. I didn't make it, but, you know, before I turned 15, I actually made it into a production. And I went to Washington Preparatory High School, and back in 2000 through 2004, we had a director by the name of Mark Swinton and Byron Nor. Mark Swinton is the ghost director to Tyler Perry's plays now, and he helped train me professionally as a actor, as a young actor. So a lot of these acting coaches and directors who helped me and guided me, they had went to school in New York or New Orleans, and they really had professional backgrounds, and I was lucky enough for them to train me in different types of acting, method acting, and I learned a big history about acting. And a lot of people think about playing characters and kind of acting goofy and silly, but it's really not. You really have to do your research. It takes someone that's very, very educated and smart to pull off a character and to win an Oscar or award. You even have those who are well-deserving of winning awards that have not even won awards yet. And I really come from an urban style of theater acting, and I love it. I've been in
several productions. Well, let me ask you a question, Mr. King. Would you say that anyone that would like to get in this profession would definitely have to start off at a young age?
No, I would say it's for anybody who wants to start off at any age. It's never too late, because if you can get involved in a theater production, that would be great, but you want to make sure that it's a good grounding. You don't want to, if you're serious about it, you want to make sure you're with someone that has graduated from a university, someone that has worked with professional actors and who have worked with professional directors that's already out there working in the industry, that know people, unless you just want to do a community service production or just do a production that someone made up. I mean, that's okay, you know, that's fun and all. If you want to do it for fun, that's fine, but if you want to take it serious, then you want to make sure that everything is professional. You want to make sure that they have a professional background, that they are well-rounded in that industry and well-known, or they're going up the ladder, they're climbing up the ladder, and they know exactly what they're doing. You have those out there that are just putting out productions saying, I do this, and I'm putting a production, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's just it's mediocre, and they're doing it for fun, just for a spotlight. And if you're serious, you want to get with someone who has been around the block more than once, someone that has been to a couple of playhouses, that have graduated with a degree in theater arts, that has been in movies or commercials, or that know people that will be coming to support you, that's going to guide you in the right direction, that's not going to waste your time.
Well, let me ask you a question, Mr. King. Can I get up front and personal with you? If you don't mind, please, because we have talked about some serious topics, and one of the serious things that's going on today is that our black men are considered the new bald eagle, and when the bald eagle came off the list as an animal that become extinct, the black man went on the list as one of the new creatures that was basically going to become extinct. You being a young man, and statistics showing that young men don't make it past 25, what would you say to the young men out there that made you different so that you could bypass that statistics and have your life open up as if you were able to pick and choose a profession and not have to use your brawls instead of your intelligence? Can you talk about that? Can I get up front and close with you and personal about that? Can you give the audience what you feel about the situation with the black men right now?
Sure. Well, when it relates to me, what makes me different from everybody else, I'm persistent. I'm always persistent. Even if you don't want to be around me, if you don't like me, if I'm trying to achieve a goal, I'm going to be persistent no matter what. That's one of the differences between me and a lot of people. I'm very persistent. I don't take no for an answer. I'm going to get another answer than no.
I see.
You know, I'm going to achieve my goals, and I'm going to make sure that I keep on going, but to have high confidence in myself. And some people don't have confidence. They have low self-esteem. Some people are followers instead of leaders, I'm a leader. Some people are just, they're just like lost. I've talked to adults, young teenagers that I work with especially, they have no direction, and it's through their environment, through how they are raised, through the fact that they don't care. There's so many different excuses when really you really have to figure out on your own discovery, self-discovery of what you want to do with your life and where you want to be, because no matter where you are, what you're doing, it's your life, and no one's going to hold your hand forever. You really want to make sure you're independent and that you're well-grounded and you make a foundation for yourself and that you maintain a professional basis at a young age. You want to make sure, you know, you have fun and you enjoy life, but you want to make sure you learn about professionalism, because it's not all being cool and playing games in the real world. You want to make sure you have a job. You want to make sure you have a degree. You want to make sure you have a certificate. You want to make sure you have a trade. You want to make sure that you can stand on your 2 feet without asking your parents or your uncle or whoever for money. You want to make sure that you're financially responsible and you're stable to make sure that you can make your own decisions in life. And that's where people fail, because people are codependent. And
how does a young person become self-sufficient? Is it necessary for a man to be in the household to role model that, or can they obtain their role models outside of the home? How does a young man get mentored without a man in the home?
Well, I can relate to that because I didn't have a father in the home. My father wasn't really around. He didn't come back to my life until I was 17 years old. And I haven't seen him since I was 12, and now I'm 27. And he basically didn't teach me a lot about life because he wasn't really there. I would talk to him on the phone every now and then, but he wasn't around, so I really had no father figure, so I had to look up to my uncles and teachers, and I had to really build confidence at a young age within myself. And there's a lot of young people that don't have fathers in the home, and a lot of them are not as strong as I am. They're lost. They are confused. They are looking for a father figure. They're looking for someone they can role model, and they are going to mimic and model behavior, especially if it's negative, because some don't know any better, and some do. And even if there is no mother, if there's no mother in the home, it's just you and your father, you can still make it in this world. You can still have a self-efficient, confident background within yourself where you can grow, and you can be whoever you want. You just have to really dig deep and do the research. There's certain jobs out there you can find on Craigslist, newspapers. There's the Yellow Pages. There's different community service organizations that you can join. And a lot of people don't realize if you were to intern or to volunteer for a community service organization, you could add that to your resume, and whatever title they give you, you can grow up in the rankings to applying to a higher position within that volunteer organization that you're a part of. For example,
and, you know, I concur with you on that. I really concur with you on that volunteering, and I want you to elaborate on that more, because that's the same position I take. When there's no employment, I oftentimes tell young men to go and volunteer so that you have no gaps in your employment and you're always doing something, and that volunteer time can be equated as time worked and you're given credit for it. So go ahead and finish.
Exactly. There's the YMCA, there's the Boys and Girls Club, there's LA's Best, there's several organizations, the Urban League, where you could be a part of something that's beneficial, that will self-empower you in order for you to grow and to be successful in life. You have mentors there that can guide you. I was lucky enough at 5 years old all the way up until now to be a member of the Urban League. My grandmother was the president, so I was always traveling with her, even when I didn't want to, going to meetings and meeting people left and right. And I'm looking at all these different people dressing up in a tie and a suit majority of the time, and I know what it's like to go into a business meeting. I know what it's like to go into a boardroom. I know what it's like to be on camera. I know what it's like to be in a dining and eat and be around nice celebrities and just really well-groomed and just important people, presidents, governors, mayors. I've done it at a young age, and I'm very fortunate in order to do so and say that. And a lot of
now,
people can't say
Mr.
that.
Mr. King, let me insert something here. I think that your mother had to be a dynamite woman to role model and to set the pace for you. I know that that significant other made a great difference in you. Let's turn the discussion a little bit and talk about duality, because it's something that's definitely present in the Black community, duality, male and female gender, and we're seeing less and less of it. And Black men are going off to themselves, being lovers of themselves, and women are going off and being lovers of themselves. How can we turn the tide to make us lovers of each other once again? And what about relationships? Should we harness our time in practicing how to become a good steward of a relationship, of all relationships, specifically of those intimacy relationships? How would you talk to the Black man who was coming out of prison, who was looking for some stability to find a wife? What would you say to a Black man coming out of prison, how he can ground himself and root himself in a good relationship to develop, to become a family man?
That's a good question. And that's a question that's difficult, because I have family that went to prison, and I see a difference in them. I see a turnaround, and some I don't see a turnaround. And I'm sure other families are like that as well. I'm sure they had an uncle or cousin or someone that went to prison. There's always one, usually one family, especially a Black family. And it's difficult from what I see. It's very difficult if you went to prison for a misdemeanor or for a felony or for any reason. It's very difficult because that's on your record, and you have to put that on a resume. They're going to look it up because you can't use any false information. So you have to look at that, and the employer, depending on how they feel, they may not hire you. They may not accept you because of your background, and that, in a sense, it's discrimination, especially if you're highly qualified. I would say to the person who is coming out of prison to focus on trying to get a part-time job. Of course, the full-time job is the goal, but try to get a part-time job at a agency, Kelly Services, something that is a part-time agency, working graveyard or any time, for that matter, and try to work and try to build some income where you can go to school. Put yourself in a community college or some kind of program where you can get a certificate, a license, and work on trying to get your degree. Build yourself up. Build up your resume, because you want to make sure all the positives outweigh the negatives. So you want to make sure that you can do that no matter what the situation has to be, whether you have to stay with your auntie or your mother or whatever. You want to make sure that you have stability somewhere, but you want to make sure your main focus is getting your education, I would say, getting your education, and then also at the same time applying for a little part-time job. It doesn't matter. It could be at a store. It could be at a factory. It could be anywhere, as long as they will hire you. No matter if it could be minimum wage. I would say at that point you're just going to have to go straight for the bottom, because if you were in the system, unfortunately, whether you have paid your dues, people look at that. And it's unfortunate that people look at that in a negative sense, that this person did this, he could do it again. That's true, but people change from their ways. People make mistakes. People go ahead and they pay their dues. But a lot of people don't look at that. They label them, and that's discrimination in itself to me. And it's very sad, very unfortunate.
How would you suggest that the cycle is broken so that they don't repeat going back? There have been some statistics that show that the average young black man that goes in jail and become institutionalized and spends a long time there, they become institutionalized, and they statistically plan for that young man to revisit prison again because he's been institutionalized. But my question is, how can we as a community help that young person to debrief himself of that experience in prison and to become truly rehabilitated? What would you say the tools are for truly rehabilitating that young brother?
I would say a peer group. I would say go to a peer group, an organization, and I have no idea the name, but I would say find an organization that can help you, grow you, to mature you, especially what's going on currently in society. Because you're in the system. And
institutionalized. Once they get you in the system, then you're kind of like you actually have it in your bloodstream. And if you're used to 3 square meals a day, people feeding you, clothing you, and all that's given to you, you become accustomed to it. So you go back to what
exactly.
You know, so to speak.
You become very robotic. So that's the only thing you're used to. You're stripped away from your freedom. You're in a cell with 7, 6 people that you don't know, possibly, and you're using the restroom together, and you're there for days, and you're waiting for the guard to come to tell you what time it is, and then they're going to feed you wherever they want to feed you, and if you don't eat, you don't eat. And then you take showers with everybody, and that becomes your life. You're cut off from the outside world. You're not watching TV. You're listening to game makers, listening to people's stories. You're listening to people who want to get out. And the best thing you can do is pray. Pray. And kind of stay to yourself. Of course, you're going to end up talking to somebody because you can't stay quiet forever. But I would really,
On that note, when you said pray, I like to play a little something from a brother who has been in prison, and he is recording from prison. And I like for the listening audience just to hear this recording that this brother has made while in prison. And he talks about the prison wall, and it is so touching. I like for the listening audience to hear it.
Behind this prison, you must be safe. You must die. And in my restless night, the shining faces. Oh, they are bright, curious. Written on a bed of rose. You think it is makes me bow. I wish that God could come and take us back in time. I said, finally be a better man. Yes, I said,
yeah.
That I wanted the listening audience to hear. That song brought tears to my eyes and moved me to determine that I was going to do everything I could to speak to the class of institutionalized young men who've been left behind. All of us have them in our family. All of us have them in our lineage, and we've got to find a way to reach them, those young men who've been left behind. And that's a touching song to describe a young man who did his CD in prison. He's crying out and telling the world that he's changed, he's a better man now, he can, you know, look towards rehabilitation. Mr. King and I both work in the area of counseling, and we see so many people that want to be rehabilitated, but the system is not set up to really rehabilitate anyone. And I would say for those young people who are looking for rehabilitation, to set themselves up under the tutelage of a spiritual coach, someone who's empathetic to spirituality, who can really be able to speak into their lives, because these institutions will have to bring spiritual people in to counsel these young brothers who come out, who've made mistakes in their lives, but are willing to turn their lives around. So as we speak to the black men today, we know that there are a number of them that are going through probation, who are coming out of prison, whose lives are being lived on a cushion where they're waiting constantly for the court system to make decisions on plea bargain. I speak to those young brothers because I have five brothers of my own, and they're older now, but their lives were written with all of these things that I'm talking about, and I pray they're existing through, that they will become old men and they would not be shed away from us. It's very vital that we as black women start speaking into our men's lives, start finding young men like Mr. King, allowing them to speak their peace and help to motivate them to be a better man. I know that all of our black men could be a better man if women get behind them and uplift them and put them up where they belong as leaders. And just like Mr. King is only 27 years old, but the experiences that he's had has grounded him for what he's about to do. And I'm going to have him come on and talk a little bit about his film and the film writing that he's doing, a little bit about his life story in his film and how it's made him a better man. Can you tell us, Mr. King?
Sure. Well, I'm writing a novel based on a similar situation I went through in a previous marriage I was in. I was divorced earlier this year, and basically it's about a woman who's bipolar and all the different episodes that you go through with someone who is bipolar, and that is what I have in the novel based off of my experience, some that is made up that will be in this book. It's going to be about 100 pages or 150